the case that Europe is no longer economic dead weight. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. German interest rates were ridiculously low, and after a new sell-off today, the rates are just low. The yield on the German government treasury, the Bund, rose above 1%. This is seen as a sign that the German economy, and perhaps economies beyond Germany, are gathering at least some steam. It's always good to talk on a Wednesday to David Kelly, Chief Global Strategist at JP Morgan Funds. Dr. Kelly, good morning.
Good morning.
I see, looking at the yield on the German Bund this morning, those interest rates are the highest they've been since late last summer. What has dawned on them in Europe?
Well, 1% on a German Bund isn't exactly high. But what is happening is the European economy is strengthening. We've seen unemployment come down to 11.1%. In fact, the European economy and the Japanese economy grew faster than the U.S. economy in the first quarter. So growth is strengthening, inflation is picking up, and that is finally pushing up European bond yields.
Back to the world economy, you wish that China were growing a little bit more.
Ultimately, it's still the case that the economies of Europe, the United States, and Japan are significantly bigger than these emerging market economies. So I'd rather have the big industrialized countries doing a bit better than China doing a bit better right now. And we are finally seeing a revival of the old guard.
And it's actually the end of the consensus that the rest of the world is doing lousy. The United States is the engine of the world economy. That is starting to shift.
Well, that's right. And I think it's actually important for investors, because we went into this year thinking that low interest rates in Europe were going to act as an anchor holding down U.S. rates. But in fact, this sort of rising tide in Europe and Japan is beginning to loosen that anchor a bit. And so we're seeing rates rise not just in Europe, but actually also here in the United States as things improve. And I think things will improve in the second quarter. For anybody who's thinking about taking out a mortgage, this is sort of fair warning and last call on super low rates. Interest rates should be moving higher.
David Kelly at JP Morgan Funds, thank you for the briefing.
Anytime.
Turning from the economy to the economics of healthcare, a study out this week in the journal Health Affairs shed some light on how hospitals make money. To summarize, by marking up prices for certain patients. The key concept here is negotiation or lack thereof. Tim Fitzsimmons has more on why certain groups of people end up paying more and what it means for the rest of us.
At hospitals, there's a price that Medicare pays for its patients, and then there's the list price charged to everyone else, usually about three times higher. Dr. Gerard Anderson, director of the Johns Hopkins Center of Hospital Finance and Management, is a co-author of the study. He says some hospitals mark up their prices about 10 times, and a few payers are stuck with that sticker price.
Because the auto insurers and the workers' compensation insurers are not able to negotiate prices.
And that means higher workers' comp and auto premiums for everyone else. The study says this pushes up costs because hospitals can say they're regularly underpaid when negotiating prices. Jared Bernstein is spokesperson for CarePoint Health, which owns Bayonne Hospital in New Jersey, the second most expensive. He says their prices are a result of serving many low-income customers.
Being out of network is not a business strategy, it's a survival strategy.
CarePoint is calling for an overhaul of the healthcare reimbursement system. In the meantime, their hospital's list price for treating pneumonia is about $200,000, while Medicare pays out just under $10,000. In Washington, I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
Marketplace is a nonprofit, listener-supported service. To keep our coverage strong and relevant, please make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount, counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. Donate at marketplace.org by June 30th. The marketplace of crafts, Etsy, has gone from a dream of a furniture maker to a publicly traded company worth $3.3 billion, or at least it was worth that much on the day of its first offering of stock back in April. Marketplace's Stan Alcorn looks into why stock in Etsy, that conglomeration of cottage industries, has fallen to about half of its initial price in the last 2 months.
Gil Luria is an Etsy customer.
Oh, I've bought my wife, handmade jewelry. I bought her hand-embroidered artwork. And most recently, I've ordered a lot of counterfeit merchandise.
Not because he's some kind of needlepoint pirate, but because he's also an Etsy analyst with Wedbush Securities, who thinks the company's been slow to crack down on fake Louis Vuitton bags and Chanel earrings.
I actually found it to be 20 times more likely that you'll find a counterfeit item on Etsy than you are on Alibaba and eBay.
And this is Luria's theory for why Etsy's value has been cut in half since it entered the stock market. He says pushing for the growth investors want has meant letting in counterfeit, copyright infringing, and just factory-made goods, watering down its homespun image. an image on display at a craft party under the Manhattan Bridge in Brooklyn.
There's tinsel, there are balloons, there are lots of kids making crafts.
Cindy Peng sells jewelry on Etsy and hopes someday to do it full time.
They're expanding rapidly, and maybe that would be good for us.
At the next table, Tamara Garvey is even more gung-ho.
I love Etsy so much, I wouldn't ever sell on any other marketplace.
But what's next for Etsy depends on there being enough sellers like Peng and Garvey to make up for sellers like Sherry Truitt. She sold handmade cufflinks made out of vintage maps on Etsy for 7 years. But she quit when they started getting crowded out of the search results by factory-made versions.
And now it looks like eBay or Amazon. And some of the companies sell on all three.
Whether Etsy can defend and grow its DIY niche into the future, this is what finance professor Jay Ritter says sets the stock market value, or market cap.
You say, how can you justify that market cap based upon its current operations? And the answer is, you can't.
If that makes this whole stock price question sound speculative, it should. Ritter says the way tech companies are valued on their future profitability is why the prices jump up and down so much, and why the last time a stock price fall like Etsy's was common was the internet bubble of 15 years ago. I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
And some more numbers, starting with one that has a bearing on what many see as America's energy independence. The oil company BP does a statistical review of global energy sources. The latest one shows that when you add up oil and gas production, the top fossil fuel producer in the world today is no longer Russia, but the United States. Shale oil here versus economic downturn and sanctions there. Another finding that may please those fighting climate change but be of concern to economists, China's need for energy is growing at its slowest pace since the late 1990s. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.